It's Sports Talk on WINY.
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Swinging a high knee, driving to right field. That one's scalded to right. Hunter on the move, racing back. It's over his head. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied! David Ortiz! David Ortiz! David Ortiz!
That's nuts!
Now here's WINY Sports Director, Josh Sanchez.
Sports Talk here on WINY. It's St. Patty's Day, baby. We're here on Sports Talk, and man, I missed last Saturday's show. I was out in Washington, D.C. I was in there for the A-10 tournament, the tournament that has St. Bonnie's and LaSalle and the University of Rhode Island. That's why I was there. And the Rhodey Rams unable to win the A-10 tournament this year as they lost to Davidson by 1 point. But hey, they made it to the NCAA tournament, and they got a big win over Trae Young in Oklahoma in the first round, and they've got the big old bad Blue Devils coming up at 2:40 later on today. Chance to try and shock the Blue Devils. We'll see about that, but that's coming up a little bit later at 2:40. It's March Madness, and nothing more madness than last night. Virginia, the number one seed, going down to a 16 seed UMBC. The first time in history that a number one seed has lost to a 16 seed, and I'm going to be honest with you, I had Virginia in my Elite Eight, but then I took them out, and I had them losing in the Sweet 16 when I heard that one of their top players went down with an injury before the tournament. So that was my kind of light bulb went off, and I switched it. I wish I would have had that same light bulb when it came to Arizona, as I had them going to the championship game and getting knocked out to the Buffalo, the 13 seed. The Bulls come in, and it wasn't even close. They beat them by 21, I believe. It was a mess for Arizona, and now they're going to have all the allegations coming their way during the offseason, so that should be an interesting time over there for that program. Right now, though, 9:10, we got an important sports talk show here today. We are coming up around 9:30 or so. We're going to have headmaster of Woodstock Academy, Chris Sanford, coming in. A lot of rumors and allegations coming out about Woodstock Academy. Will they be leaving the CIAC? Are they officially moving over to the NEPSAC? There's back and forth between a violation of rules and whatnot. So we're going to talk with the headmaster, Chris Sanford. He's going to lay it all out for us and fill us in about what's going on over there at Woodstock Academy with the Centaurs. Right now, though, it's 9:11, and we have a special guest in the studio, head coach of the Putnam Science Academy Mustangs. I'll move that mic a little closer to you. It's head coach Tom Espinosa. Hello, coach. How's it going?
Good morning. How you doing, Josh?
Last time we spoke, it was two Saturdays ago, and we were prepping for the National Prep Tournament. You were the number one seed, first time in program history as the number one seed, and what a run you had down at Connecticut College. We were there for the first game. You were able to win that one. Over the first
Campus
game.
Sports,
that's right, yep. Campus Sports. And so you took them out. They had one kid score like 39 points or whatever, but you're able to hold them off and get the win. And then I had to leave the next day on Thursday because I was going down to D.C., but I was following along. You had Woodstock Academy there in the semis, and what a game that was. Ended up going to overtime against them, and just talk about that win and able to get to the championship game.
Yeah, I mean, the tournament was unbelievable. You know, 12 teams made it. There was 11 games. And, you know, I believe out of the 11 games, I want to say like 5 of the 11 went into overtime. You know, what a tournament.
Right.
I mean, when you get to that level, obviously all the teams are top notch and everyone's playing, you know, like it's their last game because it could be, you know. So it was just a great tournament. Every game was a battle, dogfight. And, you know, our semifinal game against Woodside Academy was a dogfight. You know, we played them back in December, and you know, we beat them, you know, pretty good. And but they came to play. And
yeah, you knew that going in that they weren't gonna try and get beat by 30 again. They were gonna come in and try and make some noise.
Yeah. So it was a great game, and you know, we snuck away in overtime and we got it done.
So then you go on to the championship game. You took on Northfield Harmon.
Northfield Mount Hermon.
Northfield Mount Hermon. So you take them on in the championship game. And I'm following along now. I shouldn't be saying this on the air, but I'm watching your view on my phone while I'm driving down to D.C. And, man, it was – what a game that was. You're down 14 at the half. I'm looking at the score, and I'm like, man, okay, 14 like this. You know, you guys aren't used to trailing like that. You're on a 23-game winning streak. It's a championship game. I was like, okay, let's see how the second half goes. First 5 minutes of the second half, let's see how it goes. Pretty much the same. You cut it down to about a 10-point lead. Yeah. It was maybe 8-point lead. All of a sudden, it looks around like that 5-4, maybe even 3-minute mark left in the game. Something clicked with your team. Jose Perez starts taking over, knocking over big-time shots. Osun Osini skying up over everybody, getting rebounds, second-chance opportunities. Kyle Lofton slicing his way through the lane. All of a sudden, it's a tied game with about a minute left. Break that down as the coach. What was going on in that game, and what was the energy of the team like?
Well, the first half, it was pretty bad. You know, I mean, we're dribbling the ball off our foot. We're not catching the ball. I mean, we were struggling in the first half. But I can tell you, like, when we went into the halftime, we could hear Northfield Mount Hermon celebrating at halftime. Mm-hmm. You know, we go down the same, you know, stairwell down, you know, our locker rooms are right near each other, and they were celebrating, screaming, yelling. And that's what I told the kids. I go, you hear this? These guys are already celebrating. It's only halftime, you know. So I really think, you know, that motivated our guys in the second half. And, you know, like you said, you know, Osun Osuni and Kyle Lofton and Jose Perez, a cook. A lot of guys stepped up in that second half. You know, that's the bottom line. And, you know, we chipped away. We hung in there. We didn't shoot the ball well, like I said, in the first half. We didn't do anything well in the first half. So I knew it was only going to get better, you know. But the bottom line is we defended, you know. And I've watched the film after, obviously. And, you know, we defended at a high level. Even Northfield, give them credit. You know, they hit some tough shots with 3 seconds, 2 seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, we defended for 25-plus seconds. And they still hit some big shots, you know. But we defended. That second half, that was the difference. We really dug in and defended, and, you know, and some guys stepped up, obviously, on the offensive end.
And if you look at it, you know, with that tournament, the way it's run, you had a game at 11 o'clock against Woodstock, and then that went into overtime, so that ran a little late. And then you had this championship game at 7 o'clock. You forced overtime again. So you had, I mean, it helps having a deep roster like you had, being able to switch kids out and this and that, but you had to earn this one. You played a lot of minutes of basketball there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 90 minutes just on that day, you know, 130 minutes in 2 days, you know, basketball. So, yeah, you know, we're deep, and that's one, you know, one of our biggest strengths all season is, you know, how deep we are. And, you know, I'll play 11 guys that get a, you know, good amount of minutes. So, it definitely came to our favor in a tournament like this.
Defense stepped up at the end of the game. You get the win, and just, you know, the clock strikes zero. You're officially the national prep champion. What did that feel like as the coach?
You know, honestly, I don't remember. I was so excited. I was running around.
I saw you jumping around a little bit.
Yeah,
with
that's
with
not
some
like
of the
me, you know. No, it was a great feeling. It just, I was so happy and proud of the kids, you know, and they deserve everything. And, you know, I know we talked a little bit before, you know, a little while ago before we went on the air. You know, a lot of people doubted us. You know, this is the youngest roster that I've ever had.
I thought you had a couple, you know, maybe a couple Jack and Cokes or something before you went out there on Mustang Madness. And you sat there in front of everybody. It was a packed crowd, a lot of people supporting PSA. And you told us right there in the middle of the court that you thought this was one of the best teams that you've ever had. And I'm looking at the roster, and I'm like, I don't know who half of these players are. I mean, you're talking about a program that had Mamadou Diarra, Eric Ayala, I mean, Alexis Yetna, Hamadou Diallo, who's playing at Kentucky right now. I mean, you had some studs, Jaheim Cornwall. There's past teams that had these big-name players. This team didn't really have that. But then as the season went on, again, something clicked. You won 24 straight to end the season and become national champions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it took us a little while because, like I said, you know, we were young. We had some bumps in the road in November. We took a loss here and there. But, you know, our last loss was, I think, January 7th. That was our last loss, and we won, like you said, 24 straight, you know. So, but, you know, going back to what I said at Mustang Madness, how confident I was with this group, it's just because of the preseason, you know. They were just so focused and determined, mature, you know, no matter what we did. They, you know, no one was late. No one was fooling around. Everyone, you know, skill work, whatever it was just a, I could tell this was a real good group. And the leaders, you know, I always say this, you know, when the coaches have to lead 24-7, you know, it's okay. But when you get players that can lead, and you know, it doesn't have to be the coaches all the time, that's when some special things can happen. And this, I can just tell, there's a special group, you know, high character kids, and you know, kids that were on a mission. And you know, I'm glad it all worked out for those guys. They deserved it.
5 years you've been making it to this tournament, and it's been a long time coming. You've had close games, whether it was the corner jumper against St. Thomas More that knocked you out. It was, you know, a putback opportunity last year that it could have got you to the championship game, unable to. So again, you had all these bumps in the road, and then you finally get over that hump and bring home the championship back to Putnam. And talk about that crowd that was there. I mean, I'm watching it on your view, and all I'm seeing is white Putnam Science Academy shirts in the crowd. It almost felt like it was a home game for you.
It was unbelievable. You know, it was actually better than a home game because we fit more people up at college and we do it.
There's a little more space at that one. Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, I was overwhelmed, and it was really, really special. And I can't thank all the people that came, you know, throughout the year, not just the tournament at Connecticut College, but throughout the year. And you've been there games, but I mean, you come to Putnam Science Academy, it's usually a great crowd.
Right.
And, you know, I was blown away with the support that we had at Connecticut College, and, you know, it meant a lot, I know, to, you know, myself, but, you know, my coaching staff and, you know, obviously all the players. And we talked about it, and, you know, look at the support that we're getting. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, prep school basketball, it's different from public school, you know.
Right.
I mean, we have 60 kids in the whole school. Maybe five, you know, are local kids, mm-hmm. you know, so we don't have, you know, local parents, and you know, it's just totally different. And
right.
To go to Connecticut College and see that the place is packed with Putnam Science Academy fans, it's you know, it speaks volumes of the players, you know, and it was really special. I was really blown away, to be honest with you.
The game from Asun Ashini there, just what a game from him, just throughout the tournament. He was named the MVP of the game afterwards. He's going to LaSalle. He's pretty much was committed throughout the year to go to LaSalle, and he just continued to play dominantly in that tournament. Kyle Lofton had himself a tournament, and not only did he have himself a tournament, but he earned himself a scholarship offer afterwards as he came out. I saw the video. He puts on the hat, and he's going to St. Bonnie's. So, yep. I mean, incredible, and that's what that type of tournament can do. It puts a light on some players, and the great ones step up and make plays, and that's what happened in that game for you, and you ended up bringing home a championship. So I wanted to congratulate that again, and so it's been about a week or so afterwards. What's it going on now? What's going on now at PSA? You still on that cloud nine or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, after the game, after we won it, you know, we partied at my house until 4:30 in the morning. So I'm still recovering from that. I'm not used to that. But no, it's great. And it's exciting. And I'm still getting tons of emails and text messages from, you know, again, people in the community and stuff. And, so it's been enjoyable, and you know, I was extremely lucky to coach a group of guys like this, you know.
When you took over the Putnam Science Academy program, what was it, about a decade ago or 2006?
About 12 years ago.
Yeah, so when you took over that program, did you envision this? Is this what you envisioned along the line? You know, it was going to take a little bit, but you would make it there or what?
Yeah, you know, the way that, you know, we did it was one step at a time, you know. You know, we started low-level basketball. You know, we were playing some public school JV teams. You know, I remember playing Putnam High School's JV team, losing, you know. And so, you know, but then eventually I brought in one recruit, you know, and then three recruits. And, you know, we built it slow. We went league from league that, you know, fit us. You know, we're the Coastal Prep League. And then we stepped up to the, you know, the better league. And so, you know, I felt like we did it the right way. And we took it, you know, step by step. And obviously, You know, I couldn't have, you know, imagined winning a national championship, you know, at Putnam Science Academy, you know, in 2006 that someday that, you know, we'd do this. So it's, but, you know, I got the best coaching staff, you know, in prep school basketball. No one works harder than my staff, and I have great administration. I've always had, even the old owners to the new owners. They've always been supportive of the athletic programs at Putnam Science Academy. So I, you know, I've been in a great position, you know, just great people. When you surround yourself with great people, you know, it's usually good things can happen, and I've just been blessed to be around such great support, you know, supportive people.
So now the season's over, and, you know, what's the next step? I know you're going to be going out to a couple games and whatnot and going through the recruiting process and then starting up the season again in a few months or so. So you just you really don't take a break, huh?
No, not too much. You know?
Just rolling through.
Yeah, we're recruiting now, and I'm going to go to, so you know, the MIAA state finals today, tonight, and then probably go over to Mohegan tomorrow, check out some of the state finals in Connecticut, and we have some guys coming up from New York Monday to visit the school, and so we'll have a lot of visitors coming up these next couple of weeks coming to visit, you know, our campus, and but it's a great selling point now that, you know, we can say we're the 2018 national champion, so it's a great thing, and so I'm excited, but you know like I mentioned before, you know, this is a young team. And, you know, we have six guys coming back from this year's team, which is unbelievable, you know. And I'd say three or four of them played a huge role on our run to the national championship. You know, they played a lot of minutes. So we have a good foundation. You know, we just got to fill a couple pieces. But we're in the best position, I feel, that we've ever been, you know, with the returners coming back, you know. So
a ton of young kids on that team, too, as well, that can play. That's for sure. Yep. And so now we'll have Mustang Madness coming up. You know, it's October usually is when it happens.
Yeah,
November?
First week in November.
November.
Yeah, November.
So we'll have Mustang Madness in November, and yeah, it's a little ways away, but hey, we'll see a championship banner coming down at that Mustang Madness, and that'll be quite a special moment, not only for you, but for the school.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And one thing I just want to mention real quick, you know, unfortunately, there was two people that couldn't be there for the, you know, the national championship game. They both passed, but my aunt Maureen McMerriman, she always supported us, Putnam Science Academy. She would come to Putnam Science Academy campus to a lot of games. She'd go down to New Haven and watch our games. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, she passed. So, I know she was looking down, but I wish she could have been there to be part of this. And then my mother-in-law, you know, Kathy Cushion, huge supporter of myself, you know, the school, our program. She recently passed as well, but she was a huge supporter. And, you know, again, I know she was looking down. I wish she could have been there as well. So,
I'm sure they were celebrating with the rest of the team.
I'm sure,
maybe even jumping around with you too when that final horn sounded. And it was an incredible moment, and it was a great scene again, seeing all the Putnam Science Academy shirts and just seeing the joy of the team and especially you afterwards, just enjoying yourselves and having a great time. It's been a long road for Putnam Science Academy, but bringing home a national prep championship is a huge moment here, not only for the school but for this area too as well. You know, being able to say, hey. I remember being a couple of years ago, not even covering you guys. You know what I mean? I got into the sports director position, and I'm sitting here and I'm saying, hey, we got a prep basketball program right up the road here. I mean, I could jog there if I want and go watch a game. And all of a sudden, you guys start bringing in talent and having these great years, and you're 180% of your games and whatnot. You're knocking on the door at least for 80. I know you're there. So it's been a remarkable run, and I couldn't be more proud of you guys and what you've been able to do with that program over there at PSA.
We appreciate all the support. And, you know, people said, you know, what's this do for the town? Does it mean much in the community? And, you know, I wasn't sure, but, you know, it's all, like I said, the support that I saw at Connecticut College and the emails and the texts I've been receiving, you know, I think it does mean a little bit to the community and the town of Putnam. And we're very thankful for, like I said, from people showing up to Mustang Madness and going to the games and our kid clubs events and the national championship run, everything. Like, we are so lucky, the support that we have in this area. And, you know, not just Putnam, you know, Killingley and Thompson and the whole nine yards.
Right.
You know, we have such great support throughout this great area of the Quiet Corner.
I think your lucky charm there might be Martell. I mean, he's got a championship ring now he's got a Killingley Redmond football championship. He's got a PSA championship now. Look out, the guy's building a resume over there.
I know. I'm afraid to lose him now.
You can't let him go.
No, absolutely.
Before I let you go, though, you do have an open house coming up too. I want to promote that. I know you're going to be coming on the air doing a morning show interview, which we got to set that up at some point. But you're coming on the 29th. You have an open house. Just what time is the open house and what's going on there? I know I think it's from 6 to 7:30.
Yeah, I believe you're right. 6 to 7:30. Yeah, I've been so caught up with this whole basketball.
Right, you got a lot going on.
Sure. Yeah, but I know it's coming up, and I think you're right. 6 to 7:30. But it's a great opportunity just to, you know, meet some of the faculty, walk through, see the campus and see our school. And, you know, so if you're around, definitely, you know, pop in. You know, a lot of good things happening over on Maple Street.
Get a chance to check it out. And they also have new pictures of the renovated gym that's supposed to be coming that way as well. The photo looks great, and hoping to see that come to fruition in a couple of years or so, maybe even the next year. Who knows? I'm not sure. But the great pictures of it, and a lot of things going on at PSA. And again, the National Prep Champions, Putnam Science Academy. Head coach Tom Espinosa, thank you for joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
9:27 here on WINY. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Sports Talk. Josh Sanchez back here on WINY. It's 9:37, and we have a special guest in the studio this morning. It's the headmaster over at Woodstock Academy. Chris Sanford has joined us. Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
Good morning, Josh. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. And great. So we have a lot of questions to be going on. There's been just a lot of rumors, a lot of different things being said. Woodstock Academy possibly, you know, being moved from the CIAC to the NEPSAC, and there's just it's been rumor mill. So I kind of wanted to bring you in here today and kind of lay it all out for us so we can figure out what exactly is going on over there at Woodstock Academy. So we had there was an original CIAC. They responded to you, and there was this big, you know, back and forth from a Dr. Niehoff, who was saying that the CIAC was disappointed with your letter that you originally sent to us and a lot of other media outlets as well. They were disappointed with your letter, and they said that it contained inaccurate information regarding your the transfer rule and the prep basketball team. So let's start off with this prep basketball team. That seemed to be a little bit of an issue there. Talk about from your side what the CIAC was saying that you violated. What did you violate with this post basketball team?
To be completely honest with you, Josh, it's hard to know what we violated because the rule doesn't exist that they're citing. But their argument to us is that we could have a prep basketball team. That's not illegal. We received an email confirmation that we had the ability to have a prep team. Their argument is that any student from grade 9 to 12 cannot be playing a sport in another league if the sport is a CIAC sanctioned sport. So in their mind, basketball in general is a CIAC sanctioned sport. So any student grade 9 to 12 must play on the, for the CIAC purposes, the varsity team and not the prep team. And it's because the prep team sits in another league.
And it said, along with this letter that we got, the CIAC at the time believing that the team would in fact be a postgraduate team, and verifying with Woodstock Academy that the initial roster included all post-grad student athletes, approved the concept. At no time would we ever approve current high school students competing in a prep situation with post-grad and fifth-year seniors while also competing in the CIAC. They also went on to add that there is no new rule about transfer students. They said that their transfer rule has been in place for years. It basically requires that student athletes who transfer from one member school to another and want to play the same sport, there is a prescribed wait time. Our transfer rule requires that if the student wants to play basketball, they must sit out 50% of the season in the same sport. A student who transfers and wants to play a different sport is eligible, but our transfer rule is actually quite permissive compared to some other states. Regarding the transfer rule, is that something that you guys were aware of? Or
What she stated there is a fact. Right. There is a transfer rule for a student who transfers from one school, member school, to another. There's no one questioning that. The issue that we have, which is nothing to do with what she responded to, if you read the editorial, was the students that have come on a visa. So students who come over to the United States to study in America need to sit for 365 days. Not the typical transfer rule for a student who may be transferring from Killingly to Woodstock or Putnam to Woodstock. The student coming over on a visa, which is a big chunk of who we are now as an institution from where we used to be, have to sit for 365 days. So what she said there is an accurate statement for kids that are currently in the United States, but our concern are the students transferring, which is another part of the transfer rule out from outside the United States.
Seems to be a lot of just different rules going on here with the CIAC. We're kind of
you're making my point. That's the point.
Kind of all over the place here.
And there are so many rules that are not geared towards student athlete, and that from the student athlete perspective, they're more geared towards making sure everyone's on a level playing field from school to school. I mean, the CISC's sole purpose is to make sure that no school has an unfair advantage in their program. That's the intent of it. It's not looking out for the student athlete, and that's the part from my perspective that I find very frustrating with the CISC, because the emails they're sending to you or they're responding to you, and then like yesterday, Josh, when I showed you the email that she responded to me with, it was completely opposite or had some inaccuracies or didn't match what she sent you. So there's two. It depends how you ask the question. She answers it differently because of the type of rules and the number of rules that exist.
A little bit of a she say, he say here here with the back and forth.
Not to push back, except that mine are actually cut directly from. She just speaks. Mine are cut directly from the bylaws themselves.
We also have another part of this email here where they said it came to their attention back in December with Woodstock Academy when in regards to the football program and what you wanted to do with the prep basketball team that there was a violation of CIAC rules. Were you aware that there was a violation? And if there was a violation back in December, has anything transpired since then? On the wrist or anything like that? Or
nothing's
what?
Happened. So the violation that they're claiming happened really hasn't happened yet. We had conversations with the CIAC about our football team, its inability to compete, and for safety reasons, we were looking for a better option for our team. And I guess as an institution, it is our responsibility to find the best place for our athletes to play. Right. And so for football, we said there's a better option out there. Let's explore and let's see if we can become members of it. We had a conversation with the CIAC. I said the program will match what's going on in basketball. We have an email from them that says that's great. That can happen. And we move forward. And then after the fact, it was published in the newspaper and I think on Winnie, they came back and said that's a violation and you can't do it. Now, they basically then responded to us and said they didn't throw us out because usually if there's a violation, they make moves to punish you or throw you out or take action. None of that stuff happened. They just said, please don't come back as a member school.
So
unless you change the program that you currently have.
So you're finishing out pretty much this school year in the CIAC.
Yep.
What is the next step after that?
Well, right now we're in the exploration phase. So we're in talks with the CIAC. There's a meeting scheduled next Monday. But we're in talks with them to figure out if there is any flexibility. The two biggest issues for us as an institution are two things, Josh. The first is the transfer rule for students coming on a visa. That's the number one rule. 60% of our budget is made up of funding that comes from local sending towns, and 40% of our budget is made up of students coming from other places. We have a program that's very robust at the academy, and the reason why it's robust is we have access to a lot of funds from a lot of different places. So it's a really tough decision to say we have to bring students to the academy who choose to come from anywhere around the world, it doesn't matter what country, and they have to sit for first year and they can't play a sport. To me, that's it's prejudicial because just because you're from Spain or Beijing or it doesn't matter, or Brazil, you have to sit for a year. I think that to me, that's prejudicial. So we're asking the CIAC for some reprieve on that 365-day window. That's at the meeting we're going to ask, is there a way you can for a year or 2 years say we're going to not enforce this rule that already exists for students that are transferring here?
Now, you know, you're hearing the rumors around town and there's a lot of people that look at the academy and are saying, okay, what's going on over there? Now, there's been a couple incidents where this has started to kind of pile up. You had Paola Hernandez, who was a displaced student,
from Puerto Rico.
Comes to play volleyball at Woodstock Academy. Ends up being a star. People are saying, oh, they recruited her. You must have recruited her, brought her in. She was a part of all New England team, or she was an all national team for volleyball. Ends up taking you guys to a championship run, end up falling in the championship game. And then you had the basketball player on the team from Turkey who ended up playing a couple games, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened with him, but just those two incidents kind of came off my mind. We're hearing that in the community. People are claiming, oh, what about that? What's going on with those situations? Can you explain what happened in those scenarios?
For Paolo, which didn't even know she was coming, to be honest with you, because of the hurricane, she has relatives that lived in one of our sending towns. She moved in with them, the state of Connecticut, and happened in every community in Connecticut, not just ours. The state of Connecticut and the CIAC sent out guidance that says if you have a displaced student from Puerto Rico, don't have to worry about residency issues, because in Connecticut you can't go to school unless you prove residency. So they waived all the residency issues, and the CIAC waived all the transfer rules. So if a student coming from Puerto Rico wanted to play a sport, they can. Paula came to the academy and she played. I mean, she's a great student, and she was a great compliment to the other girls that are on the team. And collectively, they all rose together and did well. But again, there was two complaints filed with the CIAC about her.
Yeah.
The CIAC responded by saying, we told all school member schools, the academy being one, that she should have played. Mm-hmm. It would have been against the law and the rules of the state of Connecticut and the CIAC not to allow her to play. So it's almost like a perfect storm. There's an issue out there. The academy is unique. I guess that's what it comes down to, Josh. We're in a unique entity. There are only three schools like us in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, you guys kind of got your own thing going on up there.
It's us. It's Norwich Free Academy and the Gilbert School. So there's three town academies in Connecticut. There's actually only 22 in the entire United States. Because of that uniqueness, there's a lot of misunderstanding of who we are and what we are as an institution. So we're an independent private school who has the ability to follow certain state laws, such as graduation requirements, and then have contracts with sending towns. So it's unique in the nature that we're not an elected board. We make decisions based on all of our students, and this is just one of them, and it's a struggle for me because there's positives and negatives in the move, right? If we make the move, it's positive for some teams, and it's negative for others. If we stay in the CIAC, it's negative for some teams, and it's positive for others.
And that's where we're going to bring in the parent aspect to this. You know, you have Absolutely. Students that go there and pay tuition. Some pay more than others or whatnot, but there was some complaints from parents about some of the programs that you would be losing from going from the CIAC to the NEPSAC, and some of those programs is really what Woodstock Academy hangs their hat on. I mean, the state gymnastics team is one. That's right off the bat. That comes out. That's a glaring program that you'd be losing from the CIAC. You've won 8 state championships in a row. An excellent program there. You'd also be losing cheerleading, and you'd be losing your unified program. So for the parents that are concerned about losing those programs and moving to the NEPSAC, how do you respond?
Well, I would push back on that because we're not losing them. They're going to look different. I'll use the example of – I'll answer your question in a second, but let me start what currently happens.
Yep.
So currently we have one team, the girls' hockey team, which is not a CIAC-sanctioned sport. It's an independent team. We make an independent schedule. It goes out and plays any game that it can find, and this is the second year of having it, and it's an independent school. It's an independent team that operates by itself. We have a group of students now that we're meeting with that want to do a downhill ski team because that's not a CIAC sanctioned sport, but there's a lot of kids who ski. It's an interesting concept, and we're talking with them now. So those two sports, as an example, are in NEPSAC, but they're not in the CIAC. So those groups would benefit from the move to NEPSAC. In the case of the three sports you mentioned, gymnastics, unified, and cheerleading, they're not going to be eliminated. They're just going to look different. Unified sports, instead of being connected to the CIAC, we're actually going to be connected directly with the Connecticut Special Olympics. We've already had talks with them. They're fine with us doing that. There are over 70 schools in Connecticut that have direct relationships with the Special Olympics, so we're just going to be one of them. That's not a problem at all. We've already figured that out. Cheerleading, we already have a solution for that. I mean, right now, cheerleaders, they are a competition squad in the winter. In the fall, they attend football games and some sporting events. That's not going to change. The competitions they're going to go to is going to be different. Instead of going to the ECCs, I think it's in, was it in Waterford typically?
Yeah.
So instead of going to the ECCs in Waterford or then making it to the state, there are going to be other competitions that they're going to attend that we're going to send them to. Gymnastics is the one that's the most difficult. I'll be the first one to admit that.
You got quite a program over there.
There are NEPSAC schools that have it, but it's not many. And it's not a sanctioned sport like girls hockey is now, mm-hmm. right? So it's almost going to have to sit as an independent entity where we're going to have to find competition for them in a way that that's the hardest one. I'm going to be honest with that. And I don't really have a direct, like, this is exactly what we're doing. And there's a hard answer. We have met with all the parents. Holly Singleton and the parents have created a task force. I think they're meeting again sometime soon. I know they're working on a time to meet again, but they're working on solutions. The issue with gymnastics is it's the team concept versus individuals, and so we're trying to. The individuals is an easy fix. We can go to the, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there. It's that team concept that makes it a little more difficult, and we're trying to work through it.
Are you worried that this move potentially out of the CIEC into the NEPSAC, are you worried that that will affect enrollment? You know, people that may think about going to the academy now seeing that they, you know, might not get a chance to play at the, you know, the high school level and locally around here. Do you think that will negatively impact you guys? Are you looking at it from, you know, necessarily a business standpoint, pretty much where, hey, we got to make what's right for the school?
Short term versus long term, because of the pushback and the concern a lot of parents have, it may have an impact on enrollment in the short term. Mm-hmm. But long term, it's actually going to increase the ability for students to participate. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have 57 different sports teams at the academy. Right,
which is a ton.
Right, and that goes from in a lot of our sports we have varsity, JV, and freshman. Mm-hmm. That's the structure that the CIAC has. And if you are a senior, you have to play on the varsity team, right? And then JV is typically you have the freshmen and juniors, depending upon, and they can float depending upon their skills. And freshmen are freshmen. There are very few schools around us that have freshman sports. I mean, right now.
Right.
We have to fight for competition. And a lot of our freshman teams play NEPSAC schools. We play the Pomfrets or the Marianapolis teams because we have to find competition for them. In NEPSAC, those lines that the CIAC has, freshman, JV, and varsity, they're all not as stringent in NEPSAC. There's a lot of ability to flow in between based on skill level. So a kid who's an so-so hockey player or so-so volleyball player, it doesn't matter, you pick the sport, who may decide, I am not going to try out as a senior because I know I'm not going to make it. So why continue on this path for this particular sport? I'm going to not play because I'm going to get cut. I don't have the talent. I can see where I am. They're under NEPSAC, there'll be a space for that person. There's no requirement that the senior has to play on the number one squad. They can play on the number two squad, or they call it seconds.
Right.
There's no definitive lines that exist. So in sports, in NEPSAC, I mean, and there are comments on Facebook if you know from some of our students, and there are a lot of positive comments we're getting. I want to put that it isn't all negative. We're not hearing most of it's negative.
The
on social
negative
media.
Just gets brought right. to the limelight. That's
we're seeing a lot of positive comments of emails that are and phone calls that are coming in, and students are saying positive things to us that are not afraid of the competition and saying, okay, that might make me work harder to be a better athlete. There are currently, so you know, there are currently over 50 students at the academy now that are tuitions. Everyone's a tuition student, but are not from, there's over 50 students that are not from sending towns that are playing a sport mm-hmm. currently as we sit here today.
Right.
That number will go up starting next week with spring sports that start because there's golf and tennis and outdoor track. It's three major sports that a lot of boarding students may play.
Yep.
But they haven't bounced anyone out of their spots. So it already the concept we're talking about and the fear that concept of non-sending town students coming to the academy already happens, and no one's losing spots currently. And we are committed as a school, if we make this switch, not to import. And I'm using my fingers up
in air quotes.
Air quotes. Yeah, import all these athletes to bump. Local kids from playing. That's not our intent.
Because that seems to be another concern for parents is when yep. talks about the NEPSAC, they're worried about safety. And then another issue is they're worried about, hey, I want to have my kid get a spot. My kid doesn't have a spot anymore because you guys are out here recruiting and bringing in new kids that are going to bump my kid out of their spot.
The mission and the purpose of the academy and in our charter and everything states that our sole purpose is to educate the students of Woodstock and the vicinity. That's our number one goal. We would never make a move that would hurt to hurt students in any way or to put them in an unsafe position. Looking at safety as an example, that's one of the reasons why we had the conversation about football. You know, and our students currently are unsafe. And so we're trying to find a spot that's good for them. In a perfect world, and this is what we want to talk to the CIAC about, the football team, let them go. Let them go play where they want to play. There's no rule that says they can't. They're claiming that there's an implied rule. I'm using my air quotes again.
Yep.
She said to us, Carissa Niehoff, that a student 9 through 12 must play on a high school sport if the sport is sanctioned by the CIAC. I specifically asked for a page number. You have this email, Josh.
Yes.
But I asked for a page number. Tell me exactly where that rule is. And she says, it's not a written rule. It's an implied rule. Well, you can't hold us to an implied rule that doesn't exist. Mm. Now, she's telling people that is a rule. She said it in your statement. She's telling everyone that there's this rule that 9, 12 kids, there's not in the handbook. There doesn't exist. So that's the frustration from our perspective is tell us what we can and can't do, and we're going to work within that. But the rule has to exist. And that's the major issue with the CIAC in general of all these rules. Yesterday, were you listening to the visit that Gary had from the head coach, the head baseball coach from Ellis?
Yep.
And he was, for the couple of minutes, he was talking about the rules of the CIAC and how hamstrung everyone is and how frustrating they are. They're more focused on the equity of the school and not the athlete. And that, from the, my perspective as an educator, that's the part that's most frustrating.
As we're coming toward the end of our sports talk here, we appreciate your time here, Headmaster Chris Sanford. But what is the end game here for Woodstock Academy? I know we're going to finish out the regular season. Spring sports is coming. Where do we go from here? What is the end game?
The goal, I think, is the goal. A lot of it would depend upon what happens at the meeting with the CIAC next week. I mean, we're going to sit with them and say, here's what we have. Here's what your rules say. What reprieve can we have to function as a school? It's really hard as an entity. You know, we all talk about don't tread on me and all that stuff. I want to have the ability to make the decisions that's best for my students and not be governed by, because we're an independent school. We should make the decisions that's based for what's good for my kids, all of them, and not based on some organization that we choose to be a member of.
So that meeting with the CIAC, is that open to the public?
Nope. It's just going to be a meeting. We invited the president of the ECC can come if he has any interest, but we're just going to sit there and go over the rules and say, this is what we have. And, and see what reprieve they can give us or any changes they can give us that will allow us to stay in the CIAC. And football team, go play its independent schedule, and the preps team, go do what it's currently doing. That's the perfect solution for us.
And you have a big announcement coming up on Monday, April 2nd as well, 6 o'clock, an important parent and family forum. That'll be open to the public so people can come on down and
hopefully by then we have a great answer. Our meeting with the CIAC will be done. That, you know, we'll be able to say this is what we found out, this is what we're going to do, and basically have a recommendation to move forward.
And that's just going to be held at Woodstock Academy?
Yep. And I think it's at North Campus, but you know, we'll get the word out.
Right.
I think
and that's for April 2nd at 6 o'clock.
Absolutely.
So parents can come on down, and you'll be open to taking questions too during that forum?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So a lot of different questions are being thrown out there, a lot of different things going on at Woodstock Academy, but I appreciate your time being able to kind of decipher a lot of this information that was going on out there, because we were getting phone calls and texts all over the place from people that were trying to figure out what's going on with Woodstock Academy. You guys got a lot going on up there and, trying to find different solutions. But we're going to finish out this season, the rest of the spring season in the CIAC, and then maybe next year will be a different look for the Centaurs and Woodstock Academy.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Headmaster Chris Sanford, thank you for the time this morning. And how was the Marshall Tucker Band last week?
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. We had over 1,000 people rocking in the Center for the Arts. It was our opening show. It was fantastic.
Had a big crowd there, and I know Gary O was there as well and said it was a fantastic show. So congratulations on that and being able to hold that last night. That's it for Sports Talk here. Thank you again for the guests that joined me on Sports Talk. March Madness basketball game's going on today. Don't miss that. The Rhodey Rams taking on Duke at 2:40. That's going to be a good one. WINY in Putnam, it's 10 o'clock.